doesn't target civilians. And Venezuela issues an arrest warrant for opposition leader Juan Guaido living in exile in the U.S. Syria's held a funeral procession for the people killed in a terror attack on a military academy in the western city of Homs. The funeral was held outside a military hospital in central Homs. The defense minister was in attendance. General Ali Abbas said Syria is paying the price for its dignity and prosperity. And on Tuesday, several weaponized drones struck a graduation ceremony for army officers at the Homs Military Academy. Families of the new officers were there when the attack took place. According to the Syrian government, 89 people, including 5 children, were killed and nearly 280 people were injured. A UK-based war monitor has put the death toll at 110. Syria has declared 3 days of public mourning. Condemnation pouring in following the attack in Syria, with different countries strongly denouncing the terrorist act in Homs. In a phone call with his Syrian counterpart, Iran's foreign minister condemned the attack, expressing sympathy with the Syrian nation. The UAE foreign ministry issued a statement rejecting all forms of violence and terrorism. Also in the region, Lebanon's resistance movement Hezbollah said the attack shows that a foreign-backed conspiracy is underway in Syria. The movement reaffirmed its support for Syria in its fight against terrorists. Palestine Islamic Jihad resistance movement said Syria will remain steadfast in the face of plots aimed at its unity. Yemen's Ansar Allah movement said the U.S. and Israel are behind all plots against Syria because of its support of resistance. Egypt, Russia, Belarus, and Venezuela have all condemned the attack in Homs. More than 50 Palestinians have been injured as Israeli forces attack mourners attending the funeral procession of a man in the occupied West Bank. Thousands attended the funeral of 19-year-old Labib Dumaidi, who was fatally shot by Israeli settlers during their raid on the town of Hawara, south of Nablus. Israeli troops used live rounds, rubber bullets, tear gas, and sound bombs against the mourners. The Palestinians were chanting slogans against the use of violence by Israeli forces and settlers and in support of the resistance. The mourners also called for avenging the blood of Palestinians. A Hamas resistance movement also stressed that Palestinian resistance will eventually put an end to the Israeli occupation. Joining us now is our correspondent, Mona Kandil, who's with us from Ramallah, to bring us up to speed on the recent Israeli aggression and raid against Palestinians. Mona, what do you have to share with us?
As you have mentioned, yet another aggression committed by the Israeli forces against the Palestinians. 19-year-old Palestinian man, Labib Admedi, the village of Hawara, northern the occupied West Bank, and at the entrance to the city of Nablus, was shot and killed by the fire of Israeli settlers who raided Hawara village yesterday, tried to attack Palestinians, and they succeeded to This led to the killing of this young man. However, the Israeli military at first claimed that he was shot and killed by the forces. Anyways, today, mourners were taking part in the funeral procession of trying to take him from the hospital to the village of Hawara, where is adjacent to an Israeli military checkpoint known as the Hawara military checkpoint. Israeli forces and the settlers attacked few thousands of Palestinian mourners. At least 50 Palestinians, exactly according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, 51 Palestinians had been wounded. 20 of them were shot with live rounds fired by the Israeli forces. The Israeli military claimed that the attack of the settlers on the Hawara village took place after Palestinians opened fire at an Israeli settler's vehicle that was traveling at the Hawara military checkpoint on their way to one of the Israeli settlements. There, they claimed that Palestinians opened fire at the vehicle and later the settlers raided the Hawara village and attacked people there. They smashed vehicles, they attacked people, and as I said, at least one Palestinian had been killed.
All right, thanks a lot, Mona Kandil, joining us from Ramallah. Elsewhere, Ukraine says a Russian strike in a village in the northeast of the country has left 52 people dead. The people had gathered for a wake when the strike happened. Ukrainian officials say a Russian missile slammed into a cafe and grocery store in Groza village, Kharkiv region. They've called the attack the single deadliest since the war began with Russia in February last year. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says it was not a blind attack, accusing Moscow of conducting such strikes every day.
I believe that nothing but air force, especially during winter, can protect those people that absolutely tragically died because of this inhumane terrorist attack.
Zelensky was speaking at a European political community summit in Spain. He said he has secured agreements for more air defense systems and artillery supplies to Kiev. Meanwhile, the United Nations, as well as the US, UK, and Germany, have condemned the missile strike in Ukraine. Russia has reacted, saying its military does not strike civilian targets. It says strikes are carried out on military targets and on places where military personnel are concentrated. Sweden says that it will send a new military aid package for Ukraine that mainly consists of artillery ammunition. Defense Minister Paul Johnson says the aid is worth nearly $200 million. He says Sweden is also looking into sending fighter jets to Ukraine. He added that will be decided after armed forces present their report on the potential supply by early November. The latest military aid is the 14th Sweden is sending to Ukraine since it entered the war with Russia last year. Other Western states have also provided Kiev with different kinds of weapons. That has drawn strong criticism from Moscow. It argues that the Western support fans the flames of the war. Britain's opposition Labour Party has won a victory in a by-election for a parliamentary seat in Scotland. Labour leader Keir Starmer has hailed the victory as a seismic result. We're now joined by our correspondent in London, Saeed Puduza, for more on that. Saeed, it's great to have you with us. Keir Starmer says that this is a seismic result, is it?
A seismic victory indeed, Bardia. This was a thrumping victory for the Labour Party against the ruling SNP, the Scottish National Party, in a by-election that was triggered by the representative, the SNP representative, who was recalled by voters after she was found to have violated lockdown rules during the COVID pandemic, her name being SNP candidate, MP rather, Margaret Ferrier. If you look at the results, you'll see Labour having won more than 58% of a vote that outstripped the SNP of its more than 30% lead in a seat that they won 2019. Labour won only one seat really in the 2019 elections, whereas SNP has won 48, and which is why they have a majority in Parliament. But why is this significant? It's one way, one reason it's significant because it's a barometer of a Labour revival, if you will, in Scotland, and also its national appeal, Labour Party's national appeal against the SNP, and of course the Tories, the Conservatives, who remain very unpopular, Labour having a 20-point lead against the Conservative Party, nationally speaking. It's also significant because Labour could make significant inroads in elections next year that might give it the margin it needs to amass more votes against the SNP and against the Tories in the elections next year. What it also means, Bardia, is the SNP's collapsing fortunes in the wake of, in February, of Nicola Sturgeon, the former First Minister's resignation, and that a financial scandal that hit the SNP involving Nicola Sturgeon's husband, was party leader at the time, misusing donations to the SNP, that money that should have been invested or was donated to be invested in a possible next referendum on Scottish independence. But again, this so-called labor revival against the S&P might mean also that, you know, the ambitions of independence or holding a second referendum might be on the put on the back burner. And it also speaks to the unpopularity, perhaps, of the incumbent First Minister Hamza Youssef, who leads the S&P in Parliament. But overall, a very significant victory, and there is no doubt that, you know, number 10, the government in number 10 under Rishi Sunak is watching this very closely and must be very concerned about this result, Bardia.
All right, thanks a lot, Tayyip Bourassa, joining us from the British capital, London. Well, pro-Russia party has won general elections in NATO member state Slovakia. Leftist Smer SD, led by former Premier Robert Fico, obtained over 23% of the vote. Fico seeks to end military aid to Ukraine and is critical of the European Union and NATO. His victory is seen as a sign of wavering support for Ukraine in the EU.
As the war drags on in Ukraine, signs are emerging that do not bode well for the US-led coalition against Russia. Just days ago, the Slovak Social Democracy Party, which is a pro-Russia party, won the country's parliamentary elections. The leftist Smer SD party, led by former Premier Robert Fico, has not secured enough votes to form a government and needs to form a coalition with other parties. But the victory has been interpreted as a sign of growing war fatigue in Europe. The party's leader has said that no more weapons would go to Ukraine. He has also questioned the logic of the EU's Russia sanctions and even accused NATO of causing the war.
I believe that on the one hand, yes, we should expect a certain, let's say, uncomfortable relationship between Brussels and Slovakia. But then on the other hand, I also think that the relationship will also be rather pragmatic. However, the danger is real when it comes to Slovakia's declining support to Ukraine. And this will also have its impact to weaken the EU's unity when it comes to its support for Ukraine.
Just weeks ago, Poland, a staunch ally of Ukraine, announced that it would no longer supply weapons to its neighbor amid a diplomatic dispute over Kiev's grain exports. Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki has said that Poland's focus was instead on defending itself with more modern weapons. The country's president later tried to modify their stance, but the dispute is seen as a rift among members of the anti-Moscow alliance. Poland has supplied hundreds of Soviet-era tanks and 14 MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine and served as a major transit hub for weapons from other Western nations. These developments have stirred talk of a global shift in sentiment towards supporting Ukraine as the war grinds on, more than a year and a half after it began.
It is full of Ukrainians here. This is what I seriously do not like. They get benefits, energy costs went up, everything went up. So basically, they are getting benefits, and we, our citizens, we pay.
Western nations led by the United States have poured billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine since the war began with Russia in February last year. However, there are now signs that ordinary people in the EU and the U.S. have become weary of that support. Just this week, German protesters rallied in major cities to protest their country's military support for Ukraine.
The money spent on the war in Ukraine has unnerved many citizens in European countries. Days ago, hundreds of people staged rallies in different German cities to vent their anger at Berlin's growing support for Ukraine. Many protesters carried banners and placards advocating for peace in Ukraine while expressing opposition to government policies, including the remilitarization of Germany. Demonstrators said Germany's decision to send more weaponry to Ukraine risks escalation of the conflict with Russia. Some protesters demanded that Germany pull out from the NATO alliance. Some said the United States is benefiting from Germany's intervention in the Russia-Ukraine war. Germany Germany is among Western countries that have provided Ukraine with a wide range of weapons since the war erupted in February 2022.
I'm mainly concerned with crisis intervention and resolving this armed conflict on the one hand. On the other hand, of course, there are trends in the militarization of Germany. After all, from a purely political point of view, Germany is right in the middle, and America is shamelessly taking advantage of that too, using citizens through media policy to perhaps ultimately use them for their own goals, and Ukrainian citizens were also exploited.
The German economy has suffered due to crisis in Ukraine. It tipped into a recession at the start of the year and stagnated in the second quarter. High inflation, industrial slowdown, and reduction in global demand for manufactured goods have all been weighing on the German economy. And earlier in October, dozens of anti-war activists in New York City said that the interest of NATO depends on the perpetuation of imperial capital and extraction of wealth from the dispossessed.
Unification of peace forces in the United States, recognizing that it's the United States and NATO who are are to blame and the fundamental cause of the conflict in Ukraine, and that if we can force the U.S. government to stop sending money and weapons to Ukraine, the war will end the very next day.
A poll conducted in August said most Americans oppose Congress authorizing additional funding. Overall, 55% say the U.S. Congress should not authorize additional funding to support Ukraine versus 45% who say Congress should authorize such funding. And 51% say that the U.S. has already done enough to help Ukraine. The removal of Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House of Representatives has added to the uncertainty around aid for Ukraine.
The Venezuelan prosecutor's office says it has issued an arrest warrant for opposition leader Juan Guaido.
The prosecutors issued an arrest warrant for Guaido and the respective Interpol red notice so that this man pays for the crimes the justice system in the United States knows and shares.
Guaido is accused of treason and money laundering, among others. He has used resources of Venezuela's public oil giant PDVSA to cost some $19 billion in losses. That's according to authorities in Caracas. They say Guaido relied on revelations provided to the press by U.S. federal court. Guaido is now living in exile in the U.S. Back in 2019, he proclaimed himself as interim president of Venezuela, challenging the re-election of President Nicolas Maduro. At the time, the U.S. and European countries threw their support behind Guaido. Last year, the Venezuelan opposition formally ended his position as acting president. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Gun death of children in the United States of America has increased by over 40% between 2018 and 2021. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Truthout wrote in this regard, child gun deaths hit a record high in the United States in 2021, breaking the previous record set just 1 year before, new research finds. A total of 4,752 children in the U.S. died gun-related deaths in 2021, a new study found using Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data. This is an 8.8% increase in the pediatric gun mortality rate for 2020 and a staggering 41.5% increase from 2018. This horrifying trend shows no signs of stopping, experts say. In 2020, guns became the leading cause of death of children in the U.S., surpassing car crashes for the first time in recent recorded history, and far surpassing COVID-19 deaths. The analysis published in the American Academy of Pediatrics last week also found that the disparity in gun deaths among black children compared to other groups remains high. Despite black people making up less than 14% of the population across the U.S., 50% of children killed by guns in 2021 were black, while black children accounted for 67.3% of firearm homicide victims. The researchers also found a correlation between poverty and pediatric gun deaths, with children in states with higher rates of poverty having a higher chance of dying due to firearms. Overall, 64% of the pediatric gun deaths were homicides, 30% were suicides, and 3.5% were categorized as unintentional. 85% of children who died firearm-related deaths were male. Many of the states with the highest rates of child gun deaths were also states with some of the loosest gun laws, according to Every Town for Gun Safety's rankings, like Mississippi, Alabama, and Montana. This is undoubtedly one of our chief public health crises in this country. Chetan Satya, lead author of the study and pediatric trauma surgeon in New York, told NBC News, adding, "The most likely reason that your child will die in this country is at the hands of a firearm. That's not acceptable."
Satya added that researchers thought they would see a decline in gun-related deaths from 2020 as pandemic measures eased and children were outside of their homes more. The fact that gun deaths rose, despite that prediction, Satya said, suggests that the violence is now an alarming new baseline. This means that it's possible that data from 2022 will also show another record high number of pediatric gun deaths. An analysis by the Washington Post earlier this year found that the number of school shootings hit a record high in 2022 with 46 shootings at K-12 schools. The research follows findings that a record number of people in the United States of America died due to guns in 2021, with 48,830 deaths, according to a separate analysis of CDC data. The report authors said that the reason for the increase in gun violence, and indeed deaths and violence in general, is the increase in gun purchasing and access in recent years. Despite the rise in gun violence, conservative state lawmakers have been working to loosen gun laws at a rapid pace. In the year after the shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, in May 2022, state lawmakers passed 93 gun-related bills, 56% of which were aimed at expanding access to guns or providing protections for the gun industry. According to Sky News, an emergency room doctor has shared a startling reminder that gunshots are the number one cause of death for children and teenagers in the United States of America. Dr. Sam Gully shared the chest X-ray of a young boy suffering from a condition that is now one cause of death in children and adolescents in the United States. On X, formerly Twitter, asking his followers, "What's the diagnosis?" The picture shows the child's chest with what appears to be foreign objects, including the lungs. Thoughts, prayers, I will give you a hint, it's not the flu, RSV, or COVID, Dr. Gully added. The majority of replies to the picture correctly guessed it showed a gunshot wound. An analysis of U.S. Centers for Disease Control data published recently showed gunshots remained the leading cause of death among children in the United States in 2021. The study published in the American Academy of Pediatrics Journal found 4,752 children and adolescents from newborns to 19-year-olds died from being shot in 2021. Of those, 64% were homicides, almost 30% were suicides, and 3.5% resulted from unintentional injury.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatul Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing, and we just began discussing the eighth supplication of this prayer manual. Obviously, we are in the introductory discussions, and we mentioned the importance of what we call At-Takhliya, and that is self-purification, before a person beautifies himself with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his level and according to his capacity and go further to the higher levels of perfection. So when we were discussing this, we mentioned a very important anecdote that Mawlana in his Mathnavi mentions, and that is about Roman and Chinese painters. Both of them said that they were better painters and they were given the opportunity to paint for a certain duration, and a wall was placed for each of them, and in between that wall a curtain was placed, and they were told, whatever kind of brushes you need, whatever kind of colors you need, come and tell us and we are going to provide for you, but you make the best you can so that we can judge who is better. After a certain duration, or after the duration that was set by the king of the time, the king came and the curtain was taken away. And first he looked at what the Chinese had done, and he was baffled, and he, you know, was overtaken by the beauty of what was presented by the Chinese painters. And when he saw that, he, you know, it was like, it was wonderful. But when he looked at what the Romans did, he saw that the Romans had only polished the whole thing where they had to paint. They hadn't started painting. But that polishing was so beautifully done that there was no taint, and it acted like a mirror that reflected the other painting in even better color and hues and so on, such that the reflection was even a better revelation of the painting than what was painted by the Chinese. And obviously they got the prize of the better painters. Rumi would like to give us actually an example that this is what we should be. We should try to, before painting our hearts with the beautiful characteristics of Allah, we should try to shine it and take all of the taints away, so that, you know, actually the heart reflects the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what we should aspire.
Rabbana.
Salvation, a way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana.
Whenever we would like to go towards Allah. So the first station that, you know, we talk of is At-Tajliya. That means beautification of the apparent. We say that it refers to the apparent laws that have been legislated for the human beings, to adhere to them, to refrain from what has been forbidden. And the second level is known as At-Takhliya, that we are talking of in this dua. And thereafter is what is known as At-Tahliya. At-Tahliya means self-beautification. after you have cleaned yourself. And thereafter you come to the station of Fana. And Fana is that station whereby you come to realize that the only person who actually exists in the true sense of existence is Allah. And the others that you see, all the other things that you see are His self-disclosures. He is manifesting in those things. Therefore, the others are all madahir, the loci of manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't have any independent existence. They manifest the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this realization comes about when a person has reached a very high level. So these are the four practical levels that the insightful scholars have mentioned. Obviously, there are different classifications, but in one classification, these are the four levels that are worthy of discussion. This was one thing that we wanted to mention.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Another important point is that if you look at this beautiful supplication, we start with what we call isti'adha, seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you notice, we start saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, O Allah, I seek refuge with you. That means I seek your refuge, O Allah. Here, the subtle fact is that you are seeking refuge of Allah's name, the name Allah itself, which is the all-comprehensive name. Sometimes you are saying, Allahumma, or Ya Rahmanu inni a'udhu bika. O the all-merciful, verily I seek your refuge. But here you're saying, Allahumma, O Allah, I seek your refuge. That means you're seeking refuge of Allah's names, all the names. This is an all-comprehensive name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the best ways that a person can ever seek refuge of Allah. And notice, even in the Holy Quran, when we are told to seek refuge of Allah away from shaitan, we say, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Then seek refuge of Allah, not فَاسْتَعِذْ بِالرَّحْمَانِ or فَاسْتَعِذْ بِالرَّحِيمِ. No, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That means with all the beautiful attributes, all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. All the attributes of Jamal and Jalal, all these attributes, you are seeking refuge of Allah, of all these attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, away from shaitan. And that means a lot. That means, you know, in all dimensions, you are asking Allah to protect you. In the dimension, in the personal dimension, in the social dimension, in the political dimension, in the economic dimension, all the dimensions, you are actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to equip you to be powerful and to be protected from all the different calamities and all the different things that shaitan would try to insinuate to you about in all the different dimensions. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Hargez negirat to abad Aqa kasi jay to ra Hargez makhal az kaf dahan عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intel Sat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Limelight. New data shows that Eurozone manufacturing and services have slumped to its lowest level since 2020. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. RT noted, data compiled by S&P Global revealed recently business activity in the Eurozone took another hit in August as the bloc's economic downturn extended from the manufacturing to the services sector. HCOB's Flash Composite Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, for the bloc, a measure reflecting manufacturing and services activity, slumped to its lowest level since November 2020 to 47 from 48.6 in July. The reading was well below the 50 mark separating growth from contraction and lower than economic expectation of 48.5. Both manufacturing and services reported falling output and new orders. Activity in the EU's key services industry slumped for the first time this year and plunged to a 30-month low, and that is according to new data. Cyrus Dola Rubia, chief economist at Hamburg Commercial Bank, said the service sector of the Eurozone is unfortunately showing signs of turning down to match the poor performance of manufacturing. Output in the Eurozone has been shrinking for three consecutive months, led by a fifth successive monthly decline in manufacturing. Excluding the pandemic, the drop in new business was the steepest since October 2012. New orders for goods continued to fall at one of the sharpest rates since the global financial crisis, accompanied by a second month of deteriorating demand for services, S&P said. Concerns are mounting that GDP in the euro area will be falling in the third quarter as the bloc's economy slipped deeper into decline in August. Bert Collin, senior economist at ING, said another weak PMI for the eurozone confirms a sluggish economy with recession as a downside risk. Inflation pressures for services remain stubborn as wage pressures continue to be a concern. Hiring nearly stalled in the bloc as companies grew reluctant to expand capacity in the face of deteriorating demand and gloomier prospects for the year ahead, the report said. The website of IntelliNews also noted Europe's latest economic indicators paint an increasingly black picture for the eurozone outlook, as data released on August 24th indicates a continued weakening of activity and suggests a recession in the second half of this year, Oxford Economics said in a note. Oxford Economics said, economic indicators released this week suggest activity in the eurozone continues to weaken. The August Eurozone PMI fell to its lowest level in 3 years, with Germany once again faring the worst among European economies. Adding, with no real activity data yet available for the third quarter, we are still reliant on surveys to gauge the extent of the slowdown. But with the deterioration in activity broadening from the industrial sector into services, the likelihood that the economy will fall into recession in the second half is increasing. The sharp deterioration in growth data has persuaded analysts to revise their outlook for interest rates hikes by the European Central Bank, ECB, which is now expected to end its tightening cycle and leave rates on hold at the September meeting. The August Purchasing Managers Index PMI for the eurozone has fallen to its lowest level in 3 years. Within the EU, Germany's economy stands out as particularly hard hit among European nations. The downturn is not limited to a specific sector. The decline in activity is spreading from the industrial realm to the services sector, says Oxford Economics. Europe is suffering from the impact of a polycrisis that started with the pandemic in 2020 and was followed by the crisis in Eastern Europe and the boomerang effects of sanctions on Russia that has sent energy prices through the roof and fueled the strong and persistent inflation that has crushed growth. While Europe's gas storage tanks are over 90% full well before the mandatory deadline in November, that doesn't guarantee supplies of gas in Europe will be sufficient to get through the heating season without prices rising again, as Russia's exports of gas that provide the base supply have fallen from 150 BCM a year to 25 BCM expected this year. In 2022, the shortfall was made by record imports of LNG up from 80 BCM in 2021 to 130 BCM in 2022, but supplies of LNG are limited and Europe has to compete with Asia. So much depends on both the weather and China's economic performance. In the meantime, gas prices have already risen from $350 per 1,000 cubic meters in July to over $500 in August as traders begin to anticipate a shortfall. While prices have fallen from records set last year that were 10 times higher than normal, they remain 2 to 3 times higher than the long-term average prices, and that has led to a steady deindustrialization in Europe, where energy-intensive and gas-reliant industry closed down as they are no longer economically viable, which is contributing to the slowdown. The ECB is likely to try and support growth by holding rates steady at its next meeting. Oxford Economics said in a note, while the upcoming decision by the European Central Bank ECB at their September meeting remains uncertain, the balance between growth and inflation risks has changed enough for us to predict a pause in the ECB's hiking cycle. Interestingly, the PMI figures contrast with some sentiment data released earlier, such as the ZEW and Sentix indices. While these indices hinted at improvement, but Oxford Economics expressed caution until corroborating data emerged. Oxford Economics said, regrettably, the disappointing PMI figures have confirmed our skepticism. Further underscoring the gloom, consumer confidence data released later in the week reflects a pessimistic sentiment despite record employment figures. The August PMI report provides little to inspire optimism, with price measures showing signs of reacceleration even as activity falters. Notably, the weakening trend isn't confined to manufacturing, but has extended its reach into the services sector, which had been bolstering growth in recent quarters. Adding, a significant drop in the services sector would almost certainly lead to GDP contraction. Our current projections anticipate a modest 0.1% expansion for the Eurozone economy in both the third quarter and the fourth quarter, but these numbers are likely to be revised downward in our upcoming update.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
نزل القرآن
راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزای لازمی است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
کتاب الله. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is, in fact, a warning against innovation. Innovation is a translation of the Arabic word bid'at. Very briefly, without going into details, the word bid'at means to add something new into religion. There's not a part of religion and kind of disguise it as a part of religion. Like, for example, let's say that somebody, he says that, fasting on the day of Ashura is an obligation, right? Whereas we know that it's not. It's, you know, it's something which is makruh. So this is an instance or an example of something that would be an act of innovation or a bid'at, or adding something into religion which is not a part of it. There's many examples of it. This has occurred in history, as you know, a lot of you may well know. In this hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warns us against adding something into religion that is not a part of it. He says, the worst of matters are the innovations. Certainly, every innovation is a source of error, and every error is destined for hell. And saying something similar, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, never start a practice based on innovation. For a man who initiates a bad practice will incur its sin and the sins of people who act upon it. Right? So the person who begins an innovation, right? Not only will he get punished for the act of innovating this thing, also if somebody subsequently follows his innovation and acts upon it,
then the sins of those people, right? They will also, you know, he will also share and participate in their sins, and he will be punished for their sins as well. Imam Ali alayhi salam, echoing the same theme, said, "No sooner is an innovation initiated than it leaves behind a common practice." Right? So these things are very, they spread very rapidly. You know, in contrast to like, you know, good deeds, you know, that a person might want to initiate. So eschew innovations and adhere to the clear path. For verily, the established traditions are the best, while innovated ones are the worst.